You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Friday, March the 28th, 2025. Currently in downtown Wausau, overcast skies. 34 degrees is the temperature. The time is 8:07. I am Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. You can also join us on YouTube, youtube.com, and the 98.9 WXCO channel. Just go to youtube.com, subscribe to 98.9 WXCO, and you'll be able to see a video stream of our program live and also on demand as well. Coming up this morning at 8:21, we'll talk about a weekend weather forecast that is looking a little bit iffy for folks who are planning on hitting the roads. Could be some ice storms out there. We'll get all the details from our meteorologist, Brittany Merlot, coming up in just about 12-13 minutes or so. Then after our bottom of the hour information update at 8:34, we'll be talking to Civic Media and 98.9 WXCO sports reporter Mike Clemens. Of course, yesterday was opening day for the Milwaukee Brewers. We'll talk about that. Also, the Bucks are back home finally after a long road trip. Went 2-3 out west, playing without Damian Lillard for the foreseeable future. Talking about the Bucks as they head into the final 10 games of the regular season as well. And I'm sure we may touch on the end of the college basketball season last weekend for the Wisconsin Badgers and the Marquette Golden Eagles as well. So that's Mike Clemens coming up at 8:34 this morning. In the second hour of the show at 9:21, we'll be talking to Paul Micklegg about some more sports as we get towards the weekend. And then, of course, we'll wrap things up at 8:51, I should say at 9:51, with our daily history lesson. Talk about some of the famous events that have occurred on this date in history. Talk about some of the celebrity birthdays, days that special events that are being acknowledged today. And, of course, our number for the day quiz with Ian Welsh, where Ian will try to salvage a passing grade this week as he is 1-for-4 so far this week. 25%. Need to get above 33% to get that passing grade. And today it is all on the line. So that will be our final few moments of the show as we wrap things up for another work week. So a lot on the plate here this morning on 98.9 WXCO. But before we do go any further, need to say hi, hello, and good morning to our in-studio engineer, Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
Ready for the weekend?
Yes, I am. Yeah.
Ready to get a correct answer to go into the weekend with a spring in your step?
Yes. I'm ready to focus, and I'm ready to secure a passing week going into the weekend.
You are somebody that likes the drama, because so very often we've been in this situation where you're either trying to get a passing grade or trying to get a winning week. And for the most part, I think you've been better than average in these pressure situations.
Yeah, that's definitely a good thing.
So we'll look forward to that. No, it's not.
At least it's entertaining.
Thing is, every time you do it, I look over there, other side of the glass. We see the concentration. You take this very seriously.
And so, I try to.
I don't know what the topic is yet. We'll let you know later on in the show. I got to look it up. I haven't done that yet. Mm-hmm. But we will find out, and hopefully it'll be something that you know at least a little something about.
Yep, a little something.
But we'll look forward to that. I know we'll be talking to Brittany coming up, and it looks like it could be a little bit of an iffy weekend weather-wise. Did you have any travel plans yourself this weekend?
Actually, this weekend, I don't really plan on doing anything travel-wise. We tackled our latest escape room last weekend, and thankfully it was a good weekend for that because we didn't have any, wet weather last weekend. In fact, last Saturday was actually pretty nice. The sun was out, the temperature wasn't too bad. It was actually pretty comfortable. But this weekend even this morning, it's totally different from yesterday. Because yesterday morning, it was blue skies and the sun was out. And now today, it's just cloudy. And thankfully, I didn't have any frost on my car, so I didn't have to warm up my car early and get the ice off of my car. Might be a different story this weekend. Hopefully it will just remain as rain and won't switch over to the icy stuff. Because like Brittany was telling us yesterday, icy weather is not ideal for driving at all. It's very dangerous and a lot of accidents can happen. So hopefully she has good news for us. She always keeps us informed.
Exactly. So, well, look forward to that for the weekend, and we'll get all the details with Brittany coming up in just a few minutes. I got to discuss a headline we heard just at the top of the hour news.
Okay.
And, again, I just, for anybody like Donald Trump to try to define what is actually proper ideology and what is true, it's a joke. But this Donald Trump has put out another executive order. I mean, these conservatives who for years railed against governing by fiat with executive orders, boy, they are just very quiet as Donald Trump tries to remake the United States of America in his own warped image with executive orders. And now he is trying to force changes at the Smithsonian Institution, one of the great institutes of our history in the United States of America. He signed an executive order yesterday that targets funding for programs that advance, in his mind, quote, divisive narratives and improper ideology. The latest step in a broadside against culture he deems new too liberal. Trump claims there's been a concerted and widespread effort over the past decade to rewrite American history by replacing objective facts, which is ridiculous because he's a liar on every level. Mm-hmm. And the idea that he is the one that's going to decide what are objective facts is ridiculous. But he says that American history is being rewritten by replacing objective facts with a distorted narrative driven by ideology rather than truth. And again, Donald Trump talking about truth in a week where everybody in his administration has been lying about the details of the instant messaging scandal that is going on right now within the Department of Defense and the National Security Staff. But he says that it casts the founding principles of the United States in a negative light. There are parts of our history that are ultimately great positives, and there are some aspects of our history that are not so positive.
That's right.
The idea of just saying, well, we're only going to talk about the positive, and that's real history, is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
The order he signed behind closed doors puts Vice President J.D. Vance, who serves on the Smithsonian Institution's Board of Regents in charge of overseeing efforts to, quote, remove improper ideology from all areas of the institution, including its museums, education, and research centers, and the National Zoo. It marks the president's latest salvo against cultural pillars of society, such as universities and art, that he considers out of step with conservative sensibilities. Trump had recently had installed himself as chairman of the John F. Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts with the aim of overhauling programming, including the annual Kennedy Center Honors Award shows. The administration also recently forced Columbia University to make a series of policy changes by threatening the Ivy League school with the loss of several hundred million dollars in federal funding. This is ridiculous, and it really is upsetting, and it's shameful. The idea that Donald Trump is going to put his own warped sense of ideology in charge of what the American people discover at a place like the Smithsonian Institution is outrageous.
Mm-hmm.
And again, there is so much that comes out every single day when it comes to Donald Trump and his warping of what the United States is all about. It's hard to keep up. But the leadership of the Democratic Party needs to, again, be louder and tougher in these situations. But again, there's so much going on. It is hard to keep up with. But this really annoys me as somebody that does believe in intellectual honesty. And again, for anybody to think that Donald Trump is honest, all you have to do is listen to his entire career. Mm-hmm. He has made a career of lying. Lies, lies, lies. The big lie. And if you are out there saying, oh, no, Donald Trump is a truth teller, then you are an idiot. I'm sorry. I mean, just this week, again, Hegseth and his national security advisor and everybody else involved in this scandal lied. And then the Atlantic publisher and reporter who was accidentally put on that chat chain released what he saw and received, and it showed they again were lying. His White House press secretary every day gets up there and just lies to us. Just lies to us every single day and trying to make us believe the falsehoods are real. And this is what he's going to try to do with the Smithsonian Institution as well. When I heard that story on our national update at the start of this hour, I shake my head. And again, it's just ridiculous. But wanted to start off there by pushing back, and that's what we have to do.
It needs to be talked about.
When Trump does these kind of things, we do need to talk about it and push back on it. Overcast skies, 34 degrees here in downtown Wausau. The time is 8:18. Coming up in just over 2 minutes, we'll be joined by meteorologist Brittany Merlot to talk about what we can expect weather-wise, a very active weekend weather forecast. So we'll get into that coming up next here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Chad Home Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. The time is 8:22, currently 34 degrees, overcast skies, rather dark outside here in downtown Wausau, at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in downtown Wausau. I don't think we're going to see much of the sun over the next few days. In fact, hearing about the forecast, it's going to be a rather I don't know if you call it nasty, but not a pleasant final few days of the month of March. And to talk about our weekend forecast and talk about getting out of March. It's been one of those months where we had a few rays of warmth and sunshine, but boy, we've seen a number of snowstorms and some rather winter-like weather over the last month. Maybe April will be better, but talk about the weather. We're joined again by our meteorologist, Brittany Merlot. Brittany, good morning.
Good morning. I feel like all of us just want March to march right out of here with its madness.
No, you're exactly right. And it's been just a month where we did see a little bit of warm weather at times. But boy, we've seen a couple of rather significant snowfalls. And we're apparently going to be somewhere in between this weekend. It's not going to be a snowstorm, but maybe an ice storm.
Yeah, honestly, I feel like Mother Nature is targeting Wausau area with some of its worst weather lately. here's what we've got going for us. We're now in a winter storm watch because the system is definitely going to smack us with some ice accumulations and some snow accumulations, too. So it's kind of up in the air still to this day. Again, it's going to come down to exactly just how cold do those temperatures get. If it falls 1 degree colder than we're thinking, then that is not going to be ice and it's going to be all snow accumulation. It's that down to the line. So here's what I'm seeing right now with our current data and how everything is playing out. It looks like, you know, we've got spotty showers right now. Temperatures, thankfully, are just a few degrees above that freezing mark where we're at about 34 degrees. Even though with the winds, it feels like the mid-20s. Either way, we're above freezing, so it's just rain out there for now. Now, we'll be cloudy this afternoon. High temperatures today for us, we're only going to make it to the low 50s. If you travel an hour south, it's going to be about the low 70s. And if you go 2 hours south, they're going to be in the low 80s. So extreme warmth is kind of moving in, but we're stopped right there by that front. So we're only going to hit the low 50s today. We do have thunderstorm chances that want to fire up tonight, probably around 7 to 8, rolling through our evening, potentially into the overnight, and then they kind of lighten up a little bit. But what's going to happen is spotty showers still linger through tomorrow, pretty much all day. They do ramp up at night, and this is when the winter storm watch goes into effect tomorrow night, because we're going to see freezing rain most likely. That is going to continue into the overnight, into Sunday, before it starts to flip to snow on hopefully Sunday afternoon. Now, this means this could be an inch or two of ice and sleet accumulations, which that makes travel treacherous and nearly impossible. And it's also possibly power outages when you get ice accumulating on those lines and those branches and things like that. Again, this will be Saturday night through most of Sunday will be the icy conditions, and then it flips over to snow Sunday night is what I'm thinking. Now, if the temperatures drop just a little bit colder, that could be all snow. I prefer all snow. Let's bring all snow Saturday night, all through Sunday. We can handle that. That's much easier because the salt actually works. It sticks. The plows are clearing it. When you get freezing rain events, that rain is coming down and washing that salt off the street. It is very hard to keep them clear and drivable. So I'd prefer all snow. And if it does turn to all snow, then we're looking at accumulations around 6 inches to maybe 10 inches. But if it stays with that freezing rain, icy stuff, snow accumulations for Sunday are probably a trace to about 3 inches.
All right. And the thing, right? And I was looking ahead even because, you know, I'm starting to try to look ahead maybe at the end of next week, hopefully be able to do some high school sports. And after all this bad weather this weekend, it's not going to really warm up that much next week. We're still going to be, I think, probably below normal for this time of year as we start April, aren't we?
Yes, we sure are. And, you know, there is more snow accumulating possibly on Tuesday and into Wednesday. And then, like you said, we kind of hold on to those cooler temperatures. It does right now look like a dry weekend next weekend, but no 70s or 80s like they're getting down south today.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead.
By the way, I think the thing that we need to underline before we finish up is if it is that kind of freezing rain and freezing conditions, you really should try to avoid driving this weekend, right?
Yes. I mean, I wouldn't even step outside. Mm. You can fall, you know, it happens so fast. And I personally have been driving in freezing rain situations where it flips last minute and all of a sudden the road is pure ice on a highway. I've almost lost control over a ramp. I mean, you don't want to be out there in those situations. Do not drive Saturday night and Sunday. I plan for it now. Just don't do it. You're not going to want to.
Either get your favorite movies lined up. Watch some baseball, watch the NCAA tournament, stay in, read a book, stay in.
If you have to work, if you're like working in a hospital or something and you have to drive in this, go so slow. Yeah. I'm talking like 5 miles per hour. Who cares? It's worth it.
Assume it's ice, right?
Yep, absolutely.
All right. What's the details here for this weekend forecast?
All right. Pretty mild today. High temperatures in those low 50s. These spotty showers will wind down the afternoon. We'll just be cloudy, but more storm chances are possible tonight. Then tomorrow, that freezing rain chance starts to move in, especially in the afternoon and into the evening. It starts to ramp up and continues through our Sunday, flipping over to some snow, which is accumulating. And then high temperatures on Sunday only into those mid-30s. So much cooler air moving in after today and a wet weekend ahead.
Well, at least March ends on Monday. So we'll get through that, and then we'll get to April, and then hopefully, eventually, things will turn. But again, everybody be careful out there this weekend. Brittany, thanks again for all the information. And, of course, people can tune in all weekend, and the weather will be updated as well. So make sure everyone does that. And, Brittany, we'll talk to you on Monday.
Bye, Brittany.
Sounds good.
Have a good weekend.
Stay safe this weekend. Bye. Mm-hmm,
you too.
Brittany Merlot, our meteorologist. Right now, it is overcast and 34 degrees. Coming up, an information update. And then we will talk to our sports reporter, Mike Clemens. And a lot to talk about as the Brewers started off their new season yesterday. The Bucks back in action, back home, and a whole much more to talk about with Mike Clemens. Coming up next, Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Again, you can also join us by going to our YouTube channel. Go to YouTube.com and the 98.9 WXCO channel can see a video stream live and also on demand as well. Well, on our schedule, we're 1 week away from the start of our high school spring sports schedule. Scheduled next Friday for high school baseball, but I'm thinking the way the weather looks, we may be pushing that back a little bit. But the good news is there's some high school softball going on in the new Green Heck Turner Center over at DC Everest with the Wausau West Warriors. So one way or the other, we will have high school spring sports starting next Friday. Looking forward to that as you get excited because yesterday was the start of another baseball season for the Milwaukee Brewers. To talk about that and a whole bunch more, we're joined as we are every Friday morning at this time by our Civic Media and 98.9 WXCO sports reporter, Mike Clemens. Mike, good morning.
Hi, Chad.
Yeah, I'm ready to get our spring sports schedule underway. It was fun to see Major League Baseball get underway yesterday. Before we talk about the Brewers, the thing that I think that people need to be saying is, like, anything can happen. The Chicago White Sox are 1-0, best record in Major League Baseball, I guess. But that's the thing about spring. Everybody can be optimistic at this point for their favorite baseball team.
Well, you know, I was thinking about this yesterday, too, as I'm watching College Road on, you know, start for the Yankees. And it's like, are the White Sox, you know, accused of like what the Brewers are, is really just a feeder team now for them? It's like, how did they win the World Series? I know it was like 15 years ago or so, but how did they win the World Series? And what's gone so painfully wrong for them year after year? It was great to watch the coverage with Joe Buck and the call. I guess that's the only baseball game he's doing now that he works for ESPN. And did you see the story, too, that Christian Yelich, your veteran player, comes walking into the clubhouse on this away game to kick off the season wearing a loud plaid sport coat in honor of Euchre? How about that? I thought that was awesome.
Yelich comes across, I mean... as a guy that generally gets it, right? I mean, that's the way he comes across all the time.
He's that way in the clubhouse too, Chad. I mean, he's willing to talk to you. I put him right up there with, you know, I mean, I was a kid, but I got to interview Molitor and Yount, you know, during their World Series years and, you know, through the 80s. And Ryan Braun, he was kind of, you had to be on his schedule, but when Ryan did decide to talk to you pregame, and he was on a tight schedule pregame, boy, you know, he's very, very organized about it. If it's 4:20, I'm here, and if it's 4:35, I'm here, et cetera. Such great breakdown of the game, highly intelligent. And Christian Yelich is the same way too, man. When, you know, he'll talk usually after most games, which is helpful to us, also to tell the story to the fans. And very articulate ball player, and became very close to Uecker last couple of years.
I can imagine that over the years that you've had so many experiences where you see the guys that are really, you know, are appreciative of what your job is and what you need, and others that probably just don't care at all. And you mentioned Yount, and I just really yesterday actually on opening day was talking here on the program about a number of years ago when Jimmy Gantner was the manager of our Northwoods League team here in Wausau. He had Robin Yount come one time, and I had a chance to interview him. And he was, and I said to Ian, our producer, I said, I mean, sometimes when you meet those people that you grew up idolizing and watching every day, they'll disappoint you. But he was such a personable guy who was very, as a young guy, you know, trying to interview this Major League Baseball Hall of Famer. I imagine even, you know, someone like yourself who's done it for such a long time, when you come across those guys, it puts a smile on your face because that's the way it should be.
Hey, Bart Starr, Robin Yount, I mean, I've got to talk to those guys, and not only were they outstanding players, and leaders, but they were that way to work with, media wise, they kept it to the point. You respected their time. You know, you didn't, don't stand, don't do the like the Chris Farley interview with Paul McCartney. You know, come prepared, have three or four good questions, and get to the point. But the guy would give you the time and help you do your job to pinpoint. You know, why did the team lose, or what's working for them right now?
Yesterday, Yanks beat the Crew 4-2. Obviously, one game of 162. But anything jump out? Anything that you noticed yesterday for game number one?
Yeah, first thing was I was curious to see what the lineup was going to be because, you know, spring training is kind of a blur, kind of a fog to really figure out, all right, who's moving? You know, what cards is Murph really going to deal? And what is this team going to look like without Willie Adames and some of the other players that left? And free agency. So as soon as the lineup came out, that was exciting. And you realized, hey, wait a minute, I've heard of all these guys. You know, Jackson Churio, I mean, that's the guy that they move on with as the leadoff batter. Yelich was the DH. William Contreras, the slugger, the catcher, batted third. Reese Hoskins, looking healthy. He was at cleanup. Sal Frelick. Jory Ortiz is the new shortstop, and he batted sixth. Garrett Mitchell, the big kid, 6'4" out of center field, was the seventh. And then the eighth batter was Vinny Capra, this kid that, you know, labored in the minors for years. I think he only had 8 or 9 games with Toronto in the bigs. He's batting eighth and playing third base. And there he is, his first at-bat, the parents in the stands at Yankee Stadium, and he hits a home run at Yankee Stadium. How awesome is that? And then Bryce Terang, who developed a sore shoulder during spring training playing shortstop, so they moved him back to his home spot at second base. He batted ninth. But, yeah, so, you know, that's a lineup that you're familiar with. And then over for the Yankees, their catcher comes up to bat at the start. He was the leadoff batter, this Austin Wells. So Joe Buck, you know, has done his prefaces. But we looked this up. This is the first time in the history of the Yankees that a catcher has been the leadoff batter. Wow. That's 1903, Chad.
Yep.
That was the first year of the Yankees, 1903. And then about 2 or 3 pitches in, crack, he hits one off of Freddie Peralta, you know, into the left field, kind of a high pitch, a high fastball. And then it takes them an inning or two, and they go, yeah, by the way, we looked that up. That's the first time in the history of the Yankees, the leadoff batter at opening day gets a home run. So, you know, that kind of history alone is jaw-dropping.
Freddie was Freddie. I mean, he gave up a couple of long balls, but had the 8 Ks, went the 5 innings we expect of him, whether it's April or whether it's August.
That second one, too, and I think they pointed out, you know, that right field fence is pretty short.
Yes, it is.
And then they watch you see the flag and which way it's blown. So, you know, that would have been probably a play they could have made that, you know, Churio could have made any other day in any other ballpark. So they put that in. Otherwise, after the game, Murph said he was pleased with what Freddie did.
Yeah.
You know, the 5 innings a game, he had the fastball there and all that. The thing I don't quite know is now who's going to be the middle relievers in the games right now. And they didn't get to the closer because, you know, it was Devin Williams to close yesterday. And that, I mean, I don't know if you were able to catch the end of the game yesterday.
But real fast, Mike, my thought about it was Devin picked up right where he left off against the Mets last fall.
I know. So here comes Devin Williams with his beard. And were you telling me, you know, like a month ago, I think this happened while I was down in Combat, and I actually missed when the story came out, but the New York Yankees announced that, since 1976, you know, our father, George Steinbrenner, put in that rule, all Yankees will be clean-shaven from here on out. And you know, but all these players today, they all got beards and stuff. So here comes Devin Williams in free agency, 30 years old, and he's telling the Yankees, like, I really don't want to shave my beard. So the family essentially drops that rule that had been in place, you know, since 1976, and they can keep. So he comes out there with his beard, and they're talking about that. And the next thing you know, it's like bases loaded and no outs in the top of the ninth. Like, oh my, this is what got him traded out of Milwaukee, man. You know, in that playoff, I think the score was the same against the Mets. And then the Brewers managed to get one run across on a sac fly. Then he settled down. And he strikes out Jackson Churio, who went 0-for-5 yesterday, all strikeouts. And he strikes out Christian Yelich, gets him swinging, and the Yankees hold on to win 4-2, so Devin gets the save.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it, I mean, generally, that's a situation I think if the Brewers get that situation whatever number of times the rest of the year, you feel pretty good about it. But yesterday, it just, you know, the way it goes.
That's the way it goes.
Yeah, 1-of-162. Hey, got to talk a little bit about the Bucks because, again, man, I mean, there's, 10 games left in the regular season. They're 40-32. Just sort of, you know, right in the middle of the pack in the East. Now Dame Lillard is out for who knows how long.
Indefinitely, they say.
Right? I mean, boy, nothing seems to change here. It's just been that kind of year, hasn't it?
Damian Lillard is 34 years old. And had a big trade a couple of years ago. And some of these national sports talks, now they come up with this crap about, you know, well, was this trade a mistake for the Bucks? Like, oh, come on. You know, don't go there. It was not. I mean, you know, this is what Giannis wanted.
Yeah.
They've been a scoring duo. The thing is they just can't seem to get both those guys on the floor for enough games. That's what's been surprising. And that's just due to injuries. You know, you could question about bringing in a 32-year-old at the time. But whatever, he's got this sore calf muscle, misses 3 games, another MRI, and we get the news, what was that, late Tuesday night, that Jimmy texted me that they announced it was deep vein thrombosis, the latest MRI. It's a blood clot. Oh, my gosh. I had blood thinner. You know, I called around. There was one guy that said, hey, this takes a while. We've had a player that had that, too, a basketball player. It took at least 90 days. So I don't. Doc Rivers is going to have a press conference today, Chad, about 4 o'clock, before tonight's Bucks game against the Knicks. I think that tip off is at 7 o'clock, at Fiserv. So we should get some more information on that. And then, you know, Giannis is out with the game that they ended up losing by 10 to the Nuggets the other night, and he's dealing with a foot sprain that he suffered in Phoenix from the night before. So the Bucks are home after a long West Coast trip against 5 teams. They won 2 and they lost 3. It should have been the other way around, 3-2. But, you know, the injuries mounting up and whether Giannis is back from this sprained foot, again, we'll find out tonight.
And they take on New York, who, you know, they could very well face early on in the playoffs. I mean, if they fall to a 6, it could be a 3-6 matchup. And, you know, I would think coming off the road trip back in Milwaukee, it's never an easy game, the first game you come back after a long trip, but you really like to maybe make a mini statement at least here as we head down the stretch.
Yeah, and the guy, so, you know, the question is, well, what are they doing without Lillard? And they've got this Ryan Rollins kid that they just actually signed a month or so ago. He's only 22 and playing point guard. He's only 22. So, you know, give him a chance to see what he's, you know, what he can do. They're excited by his youth and his speed. And if he can settle down and, you know, give you 15 points, that's probably half of what Dame could do on some nights, but at least it helps out Brooke Lopez and the rest of the guys. You know, the big picture is, you know, they'll still be somewhere an eighth seed or whatever, and where can you be when it gets to the playoffs? Can you get Giannis back, you know, with this foot sprain situation? You'll get Bobby Portis back, whether Dame is there, but, you know, where can you be at the start of the playoffs?
And, Mike, real quick in our last minute, you know, with the, were you surprised the Badgers didn't get to the second weekend of the NCAAs?
Not really. You know, I mean, this is the team that also lost to Penn State.
Yeah.
I think the more surprising thing is how well they did in the regular season. You know, no one, they weren't even in the top 25, and they worked their way up. Won some big games against some tough teams. I think the most important thing to say is, how good is the Big Ten? You know, it was not so much an indictment on the Badgers, but what's the competition level of the Big Ten when you see all the teams from the SEC that are still in the brackets?
Yeah. All right, Mike. Well, lots going on. Really appreciate the breakdown. Have yourself a great weekend. We'll catch you again next week.
Bucks games this weekend, opening day at MFAM on Monday.
There you go. That's our Mike Clemens, sports reporter for 98.9 WXCO and Civic Media. We'll take a quick time out. Come right back. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
If you want me, you can find me left of center off of the strip. In the outskirts and in the fringes, in the corner out of the grip.
Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO, and online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. You can also join us by calling or texting us, same number, 715-382-9297. That's 715-382-9297.
We actually do have a phone call. Our good friend Cornell from Merrill has a story he'd like to share with us. He actually got to meet a Susan Crawford.
Cornell, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Chad. Thanks for getting me on the air. I just want to give you an update. We had a great time yesterday. We had a packed hall there. She came in and just it was just mostly the members and the volunteers, and she wanted to thank the people, and it was just a great opportunity to meet her. And she was talking about her life. I mean, it sounds like, you know, she grew up over in Chippewa Falls, and she took her schooling here also, getting her law degree. And it sounds like, you know, she's just middle class, and she had to work hard to get to where she is. And she was talking about her sister had some health needs, and she had to take care of her sister, and talked about her dad was an engineer and lost his job, and, you know, and then going to school, you have that debt, or you have to you know, work getting your degree. So she was just really, you know, down to earth. And I was really glad to hear everybody was thrilled and taking pictures. You know, she wasn't born with a silver spoon in her mouth, let's say.
Well, that's actually an interesting story to tell, because I was going to mention here that late last night, word came down that right-wing billionaire Elon Musk is coming to Wisconsin Sunday night ahead of the state Supreme Court race. He did not share the exact location or time of the announcement, which he posted just before midnight overnight. The thing as well is, Musk said the event will only be open to people who have voted already in the race for Wisconsin Supreme Court, which, of course, sees Susan Crawford going up against Brad Schimmel. And you talk about Susan Crawford's, I think, very common background for most people in the state of Wisconsin. You got this billionaire coming in, and he says he'll be giving out two checks at the event, each for $1 million. I mean, you talk about somebody that is the complete opposite of normal, and then you have somebody that is normal. I'm going to ask you, do you think that Elon Musk coming here to the state on Sunday night is going to either help or hurt or not matter when it comes to this race? I mean, in terms of Brad Schimmel.
Well, I just don't know what to say. It's just, you know, I just hope people just get out and vote. I mean, for equal rights, for the Constitution. He's endorsed by a criminal, a member of the a team with the Communist Party, Trump. I mean, we have to, I just hope people get their Green Bay Packer power out and go and vote, and we got to send a message. The world is looking at Wisconsin. The United States is looking at Wisconsin. We got to show to the world, we got to stop this greed and this money. You can't buy a judge, and I feel he's not going to treat the average people, the minorities, right. You know, that just you know, just have to get, you know, just get out and vote. I did some calling last night, and people were excited, and we just got to get the vote out, and it's just show the people. The whole world's looking at Wisconsin. And we have to just get out and vote and take a friend. And, you know, this is equal rights. And I feel that Susan Crawford, she's grassroots, and she'll treat the people right. I mean, we've got corporations that might go up to the court. We got this John Deere. The farmers want to, you know, repair their own tractors, and John Deere won't let them. And we've got maybe disputes with apartment buildings. And they're raising rents on that. And then there's another one. I can't think right now. But, I mean, it's just, we got to just get out. This is very important. I mean,
well, I guess real fast, we have a break coming up. Real fast to wrap it up. Yeah. I mean, this bottom line is, you're exactly right. In terms of, number one, get out and vote. And number two, that the result of this election is going to say a lot. Are people, I mean, it would be very disturbing to think that Elon Musk and Donald Trump and the folks on the right can simply buy the election, and that all the actions we've seen over the last 2.5 months since the inauguration have meant nothing. This is, to a certain extent, a referendum on what we're seeing right now in this country. And the people of Wisconsin have a chance to make the statement, and hopefully we'll see a much higher voter turnout than we normally would see in a spring election. But, Cornell, we got to take a break for the top of the hour news. Again, thanks for the update. Glad you had a great time with Susan Crawford yesterday.
Yeah, it was great. Get out to vote, people. We got to show the world's watching us. We got to throw that Musk out. We got to show them. We can't buy a judge in the state, so we got to show them. I hope the people get out.
There you go. Thanks, Cornell.
Okay, thanks a lot, Chad. Yeah, have a good weekend.
We got to take a quick time out. Again, top of the hour news update coming up. News, weather, sports, entertainment, all coming up. And then hour number two of the show. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO. Trying to show he can't be
bought. Who takes every kind of people? The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.